course, on Sunday nights, going with our theme, not as closely as we are, say, on a Sunday morning, but we're talking about discipleship. And then on Sunday nights, we're talking about living discipleship, just some different things, different subjects, key subjects, to be real honest with you, truths and areas where we need to really be very, very careful if we're going to live and be the Christians that we are supposed to be. This week's, we're going to dovetail a little into what we talked about last week. Really, we're going to take it to another level. Well, last week, we talked about lust. And lust is a desire, a craving, or a longing for that which is forbidden, and how we are constantly pushed towards those things and past those boundaries God tells us that we should go to get involved with things that are wrong. Tonight, we're going to talk about the primary way that lust is effectively deployed by our enemy to cause us to give in to lust and to go to that place in action which is forbidden by God. How does our enemy, Satan, use it? Now, we alluded to it last week in our message, but the primary tool that Satan uses to cause us to give in to our lust, or really uses our lust to give in to this, is temptation. Satan tempts us. And the primary tool which he is going to use to tempt us is our lust. Now, temptation's misunderstood. It's joked about, right? The bumper sticker, "Lead me not into temptation, I can find it myself." And there's a lot of truth to that, but temptation is, it can be very damaging, or it can just be something that is an aspect of our Christian life that we face time to time that really is not an issue. It's not something we are going to give into. We will look at several different passages tonight that deal with temptation. But what is temptation biblically? The word tempted means to try one's faith and character by enticement to sin by using our desires or circumstances. That's what temptation is. Temptation tries our character and tries our faith by enticing us to do something, either by our desires or our lust or circumstances that come our way. Now, when we say try, we don't mean that in a good way. Or test, we don't mean that in a good way. You know, most teachers, when they give a test at school, their goal is not for the students to fail, right? Someone has said, if all your students fail, then the teacher has failed. That's not the kind of test we're talking about. Satan does it with the stated goal of trying to give us get us to fail the test and to give in and fall or step into sin. That is why temptation never comes from God. And we're going to see that in James. God tests us in many ways, and he allows things in our life to test us, but his testing is for a different purpose. The goals of temptation and testing are completely different. Satan tempts us to cause us to sin and mess up our lives. Satan tempts us for that. God tests us to strengthen our faith and mature us as a Christian. Completely different goals in mind there. Completely. And sometimes as Christian, God's tempting me. No, God's never tempting you. God may allow things in your life that test your faith. And by the way, testing is a good thing, right? If we're in class and if we're in our college and we don't give them tests, then they're not going to pay as much attention. They're not going to study their notes like they should. But when you know a test is coming, you are going to study, so you make sure you pass it. The goals are completely different. That's why Satan, by the way, never tests us. Satan always is trying to destroy us, and so he's trying to get us to do wrong. He would never do anything that would strengthen our faith. Now, if God is allowing something, and he could even use what Satan brings our way to strengthen us, but God's not the author of that. God can help us to get through it. God never tempts us. God will never throw anything in front of us that we, if we gave into it, would cause us to sin. That is never from God. Temptation is strong, but I want us to understand that it does not need to reign supreme in our life, and we need not fear it. So tonight, I want us to see how we can have victory over temptation. And temptation uses lust to try to get us to sin and go to that place that God does not want us to go. I want three thoughts I want to share tonight. First of all, out of Matthew chapter 4, I want us to see the path of victory. The path of victory. This is the story of Christ and his temptation by Satan. Now, Jesus was 100% God, but he also was 100% flesh. And he was tempted, as it tells us in Hebrews, in all points tempted like as we were, yet Christ did it without sin. Understand this when it comes to temptation, the opportunity to sin and do wrong. Not only can we be victorious and not give in, we should be victorious and not give in. In other words, wow, I overcame that. I'm proud of myself. No, that ought to be the norm. We should never give in to temptation. We should never give in. So what is the path of victory? We see it in the story of Jesus being tempted by Satan. Let me give you a couple thoughts. First, if we're going to have the path of victory, we need to walk in the Spirit. Now, I want us to understand this. Look at verse 1 of Matthew chapter number 4. And then it says this, then was Jesus, if you're there in your Bible, what's the next five words? Led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. I want you to notice how this temptation happened. It happened as Jesus was being led of the Spirit. Now understand this, in the course of living our life, if we're doing the right thing, temptation may come. Temptation is not a sign, necessarily a sign that we have done something wrong. Now, we'll get to the flip side of that in a minute, all right? But if we're living Jesus was not doing anything wrong. He was not heading any wrong direction. He was being led of the Spirit of God. And guess what happened? As he was being led of the Spirit, he was tempted. Don't get the mistaken. No, that's one of the things. Well, if you're being tempted, you must be doing something wrong. Now, that may be the case, but it's not always the case. You can be living for God and doing the right thing, and there's a situation that'll come your way, and you can have victory over it. It's not a sign. I want us to see also. It happened as this, and the Spirit knew it was coming. In fact, the Spirit took him there for this. For that purpose. See? Hey, if we're a spiritual Christian, temptation will come sometimes, but we can totally get past it. Fact of the matter is, if the Spirit is leading us, for sure we'll get past it. So don't think just because temptation comes our way or there's an opportunity that shows itself out of the blue that we are doing wrong. But it is vital that if we are going to have victory, we must be like Jesus. And we must be living by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. What does it mean we're walking in the Spirit? It means the Spirit of God who dwells in us is guiding us in every area of our life through God's Word. We're allowing Him to show us the truths of God's Word and show us the path through the Word of God that we are to take, and we're allowing God to lead us in our life. And if we're doing that, we're going to be okay when temptation comes. This is important because the Spirit is the one that gives us strength for victory. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, it says this. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and of earth is named, that he would grant you, verse 16, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Could it be the reason we give in to temptation sometimes is because we are very weak in our Christian faith? Whenever you are weak, you're going to give in. You are. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to be so close to God. And we need to, on a daily basis, spending time to Him, that we are being strengthened by His Spirit. That we can do the things we're supposed to do. That we can overcome the things that come our way that would cause us to get derailed on our path. We need to be walking by the Spirit. If we are struggling with temptation or giving into it in our life, It's the reason typically is because we're not being spiritual. Well, that one was just too strong. No, nothing is too strong for the Spirit of God. That's a good place for an amen right there. Okay, we can overcome all of it. The fact of the matter is we're just not being spiritual. We're not walking in the Spirit. What is the opposite of walking in the Spirit? Walking in the flesh. We're being led by what we want to do and our own desires, and that's always going to cause us to give in. But when we walk in the Spirit, as Jesus was being led of the Spirit, we can have victory. But also this, we need to understand, we need to walk in the Scripture. Now let's see how Jesus defeated Satan here. There's four verses. Let's look at some phrases in them. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Satan throws his first temptation out. Hey, but Jesus said this. He didn't argue with him. He didn't debate and say, nope, let me give you five reasons why that is wrong. Here's what he said. But he answered and said, verse 4, the beginning, it is written. Verse 7, next temptation. Jesus said unto him, it is written again. Almost like you didn't get it the first time. Let's catch the progression here. Let's guess what's going on. And then the last time, Jesus had enough. Then saith Jesus unto him, verse 10, get thee hence. In other words, get out of here, Satan. For it is written. No debates. I remember we had these charismatic years ago when our church was very young. And we were a Cambodian church. These Cambodian charismatics came in. And we were renting from another church. And they tried to come in our church, but I heard them in this other church that was meeting before ours, and they took over the end of the service. They got up and started praying, and in their prayers, they're yelling at Satan. Satan, do this, do that, do all that stuff, and get out of here. Don't touch my brothers. I'm like, Satan can care less what you're doing. That's just this. You know what Satan doesn't want to hear? The Bible says this. Here's what the Scripture says. That's the important thing. Think about this. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, the Son of God, the creator of the universe. And here he is facing Satan, and you know what he did? Couldn't he have just blown Satan away? And he just said, it's written. It's written. It's written. Why did he do that? Because you understand, we have the same word of God that Jesus had. Fact of the matter is, we have more of the word of God than Jesus had. Now, Jesus knew all of it. But he was only quoting that which was already written. We have the New Testament. We have the words of Christ. We have the script. We have the same ammunition that Jesus had to defeat anything that comes our way. And we should take advantage of it. That should encourage us. The fact of the matter is, we should never give in. But if we're going to walk in the Scripture, and if it's going to be effective to overcome this nonsense that comes our way in our life, really, there's two things we got to understand. We've got to know it. Do you know it's more than just having a Bible? Do you know this is not some kind of rabbit's foot or some kind of a lucky charm? You see, here's what we think when it comes to Satan. You know, he comes his way and he tries to rear his head, and it's like, look, a Bible. It's like, you know, I don't watch them anymore, but my wife does. The vampire movies. Okay, I don't watch them. But remember the old vampire movies? What caused a vampire to shrivel up? You pulled out a cross. You know, Satan. And he goes, you know what he's going to say? Oh, that's a nice color, black. That's my favorite color. He could care less if we have a Bible. You know what he wants to know? Do you know it? It's not holding a Bible that brings victory. It doesn't. You know, we take it home, we stick it on the shelf, and next Sunday we dust it off and we bring it in. That does nothing. Do you know Jesus didn't have a copy of the Bible with him? You know what Scripture he used against Satan? Now, I know he's a God in the flesh, but he used the Scripture he knew. Okay? He used the Scripture he knew. You see, we got to study and know the Bible well enough to where when temptation comes our way, we know from our Scripture and our study and our hearing, we know what's right and we know what's wrong from God's word and his principles. And we're like, you know, Satan, that is not of God. I know that is wrong. And by the way, we talk about walking in the Spirit. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to help us. But we need a Bible. We got to know it. And then the power behind the knowing of the Bible comes by being committed to obeying the Bible. This isn't some, and I'm not against it, Brother Ross. The teenagers go up to camp, and they have teams, and they have to make their beds, I guess, and get points. But they scripture memory. Okay? That's good, because if you don't memorize it, you don't know it. But you could memorize 100 verses, and it's not going to do you any good if you don't obey each one of those verses. You know where the power came? Because Jesus wasn't just informing Satan of what the Bible said. He was informing Satan of what he was going to do because of what that verse said. If we're not committed to obeying the Bible, there's no power in the Bible. And I've used this before, but I've used a story about the man I met in Chicago. He was a drunk alcoholic out on the street, and he had the book of Proverbs memorized from when he was younger. And I asked someone, see, that guy's Proverbs memorized. I went up there, I said, someone told me, you know the book of Proverbs is memorized. And he was still coming off of a drunk. And he just started right in the middle of the book and started quoting it. But it did him no good. That same book he quoted was telling him that wine was a mocker and strong drink is raging, but he was still drinking. See, the power behind the scripture we know is when we are committed to obeying it in our life. If we're not committed to obeying it, it has nothing over Satan. He's still going to throw it at us. So we have to obey the Bible. Secondly, we see that temptation there, but I want us to see the power to overcome it. The power to overcome it. I want us to see two things that will help us as we are seeking to overcome temptation. Turn ahead in your Bible, two chapters, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. These are two more tools that will help us to overcome temptation when it rears its ugly head. Okay? I have primarily two things that will give us the power. First, it's prayer. Prayer. Let's read the Lord's Prayer, starting down Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Ready? I'll read this. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now let's stop there for a second. This is not some rote prayer that Jesus just wants us to repeat and we have no clue what it is. It's more of a pattern or a structure or an outline for prayer. These are the types of things we should be praying for. We should be praying for God's will to be done on this earth. We should be praying for our daily provision and all that. But look what else he asks us to pray for. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Do you know what the best plan for victory over temptation is? Are you ready? Avoidance. See, we're macho. At least I hope you guys are. We have this mentality in America, we're going to plow through. Bring it on. You know what? When it comes to temptation, no. No. Now, when it comes our way, we can defeat it. But you know what the best way to defeat it? Don't meet it. Hey, that's pretty good. That rhymed. The best way to defeat it is just don't meet it. There you go. Okay? Avoid it. Avoid it. And you know, one of the ways, there's many ways we can avoid it. When we talked about Joseph, we talked about that. But one of the best ways is to ask God, don't lead us into temptation. Say, Lord, help me in my life to avoid temptation today. Deliver me from evil. I'd rather not face it. I'd rather just go on my way, serve you without having to deal with it in my life. That's always. We should avoid its presence. See, temptation is only strong when we allow ourselves to get into temptation. And by the way, there is a temptation that could come that is too strong for you. It's when you purposely put yourself there. Because if you're taking steps to put yourself in a bad situation, you've already taken those steps downward, and they usually just keep going. Avoid it. Avoid its presence. Now, there may be a place. Remember, we talked about Joseph. Joseph was in the house doing his business when Potiphar's wife saw her final opportunity to go after him. Listen, he had no choice. He couldn't quit his job. He couldn't do any of that stuff. He was a servant. He was a slave. He had to be doing his business. There was no way out of that until it reared its head and he said, fine, I'm out of here. But a lot of us, we're not in that situation, and we allow ourselves to get into situations where we're going to be tempted, and we ought to avoid that. Stay out of its presence. Stay away from its people. You know, there are certain people, and you know it. When you're with them, you're going to be tempted to do something you know you shouldn't be doing. Stay away from those people. Avoid them. Could be places you're going to. And so often it's our past, right? If we get saved and God brought us out of something, we know those places and those things we used to do that would just stay away from it. Stay away from it. But before we move on, make sure you put that on your daily. You ought to pray that every morning. You know, Lord, just don't lead me into temptation today. Keep me safe. Keep me away from that. And we can overcome it not just by prayer, but by performance. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, please. A verse you probably have heard and you know well, but its truth is still very important. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 13. First Corinthians 10:13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You know, sometimes people say, you just don't know what I'm going through. You just don't know how hard it is. Every temptation that comes, it's the same. Everybody's face, it's the same. They're not different. It's just that maybe you're allowing things in your life to make it strong in your life, but come on, temptation is across the board. But God is faithful. How is God faithful? Who will not suffer you, allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. But will with the temptation make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God doesn't author temptation, but God monitors it. He will never, ever, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're doing the right, God will never allow you to be tempted to the point where you just say, I had to give in. No one will ever be able to stand before God for any situation in their life in which you've sinned. And you say, you know, Lord, it was just too strong. That's not scriptural. If you're a Christian, when temptation comes your way, you can get through it. God has promised. You know what the problem is? We're not looking for the way of escape. We've got ourselves so deep into it. You know, it's like the alcoholic that says, I want to quit drinking, but yet we're hanging around with people that are drinking, and we're hanging around at places where drinking is going on. That's a recipe for disaster. I want to get over, you know, maybe it's pornography or just a little bit loose in that area, and yet we'll allow ourselves access in areas where we're going to be tempted to get into those areas. We've got to be very, very careful here. Because he said that if we are staying right with him, he will never put us in a place where we cannot be victorious. We can get through. Remember what it says in 1 John, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And lastly tonight, we look at temptation. I want us to see the plan of Satan, the plan of Satan. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. I'll make a couple thoughts here. We'll be done for the night. Genesis chapter number 3, the plan of Satan. Now, this story is a very well-known story. And the fact of the matter is, it should be. Because this story lays out Satan's plan in a nutshell, right? It just tells us everything we need to know. Satan, that first time that he's referenced in the Bible, just lays out exactly what he's trying to do to trip up mankind. So that, you know what? We don't need to be confused about it. Verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, now here's his first recorded words. Are you ready? Yea, hath God said. And nothing's changed since then. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the trees, of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. By the way, God never said that. He didn't say they couldn't touch it. So they're already getting confused there. And the serpent said unto the woman, here we go, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat the bread there, you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and she did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. I'm glad God tells us exactly what Satan's trying to do, okay? By the way, you know this whole, the baseball scandal, right? The teams that were cheating. Why were they cheating? They wanted to know what pitch was coming, because if you know what pitch is coming, you know what to be ready for, right? When we used to coach, Brother Paul, 27 World Series, they stole it. When I used to coach the teams in football and basketball, if we had a night off and one of the better teams was playing, we had a lot more teams close by that would play, we would go watch their games. Why? Because we had nothing to do? No, I wanted to see what they did. I wanted to see their strategy so that when we play them, we know what's coming and we can be prepared for it. Well, we know the strategy of Satan, okay? Satan's plan is right here. Here's how he got Eve to give in to temptation, and here's how he gets us. First, he questions God's word. First words out of his mouth, yea, hath God said. Did God really say that? He's trying to cast doubt about the word of God. Because if we doubt God's word, faith will always be defeated and disobedience will be accepted. That's what it is, doubt. Do you know something? We do not need to doubt the word of God. It's. And by the way, we may not doubt it in a sense that we say, you know, it's not true. We doubt it in a sense of, well, is it really true that I can't do this? Is it really true that I can't do that? By the way, when people do that, it's borderline irritating. You know, is it really true you can't do this and you can't do that? It's usually asked by someone that never reads their Bible, has never studied one page of it, and they're just looking for an out so they can do what they want. A kid one time when I had a youth director come up, like, well, that's just not my conviction. I just don't believe that. I'm like, man, when's the last time you read your Bible? Don't sit here and tell me that if you've never studied it out. Fact of the matter is you're being led by your flesh. But we start to question God's word. Listen, and by the way, I'm not saying we shouldn't study it out and find out what it says in these areas. I'm not saying that. But we sit here and question it without, well, I heard someone on the radio and they said this. Hey, you might want to see what they really believe. You might want to check their doctrinal statement. But we question it. And now the doubt comes, like, well, you know, is it really that hurtful? Is it really that big a deal? You know, I know someone that does it, and they're Christians. They don't go by what people say. Go by what the Bible says. But question. Then he misquotes it. Look at, and this is in Matthew, back to this, I'll read this one. You probably skipped from Matthew. In Matthew chapter 4, in one of the temptations, Satan quotes scripture. Hey, Jesus, let me tempt you, because the Bible's got you covered on this one. All right, you ready? Matthew 4:6, and he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Now, by the way, if, doesn't he always do that? That's questioning again, right? If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. He said, jump off this pinnacle, for it is written. Satan was quoting the Bible here. Are you with me? He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Here's what he told Jesus. Said, you can throw yourself from the pinnacle. That's that, because the Bible says that the angels will make sure that you don't get hurt. They'll bear you up. Now, Satan forgot three really key words. In all thy ways. In other words, as Jesus was doing what he was supposed to be doing, God's protection was on him. Nothing would happen to him except what God wanted to happen. Not if Jesus deviated and started to do his own thing. Okay? We misquote scripture. You know, it's funny how people that know scripture the least misquote it the most. You're trying to find a verse to cover up what you're doing. It could be the really ridiculous grace. So I'm under grace. You don't even know what that means. I'm going to help you with something. Could be on the radio or some Christian friend, you know. Whenever they're talking about what they're doing and they're like, well, brother, I'm okay, I can do that, I'm under grace, the next words out of their mouth are going to be ridiculous and non-scriptural. Because Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No way, Jose. That's what he was saying right there. Okay? And so don't misquote the scripture. That's why it's important that we know it. You hear the philosophy of others, and they'll tell you they're Christians. We have candidates running whose lives are anti-God, and yet they'll quote scripture. Okay? And then they're marrying their boyfriend, a guy. They're telling you that's okay to kill babies even after they're born alive. Listen, there's no scripture in that lifestyle. There's a misquotation going on there. Then he'll question God's word. He'll misquote God's word. Then we deny God's word. Then he went in for the kill. Once she got confused and said, you know, we can't. I don't even think we can touch the fruit. God never said that. Not that it was a good idea, but I'm just saying. So then it's like, now he's going to deny it. Verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. It's denied. Just do what you want to do. Okay? Again, it's probably not in our life a denial that we believe it's a true. It's a denial of its authority in our life. That's a bad place to be. For a Christian to knowingly live in such a way that they know is in denial of what God has said is very, very scary. Very scary. That's when we're stepping over into an area of life where we can get ourselves in a lot of trouble. Let's not deny God's word in our life. Okay? We're to do what we're supposed to do and follow his word. And then lastly, he replaces God's word. Now look at verse 5. What does he tell her? Once he denies it, he says, now here's the replacement for God's word. Are you ready? Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What he's saying is, God knows, and he's holding out on you. If you'll just eat it, the day you eat it, your eyes are going to be open now. You're going to see things better. You'll be able to make your own decisions. You'll be as God, knowing, deciding what is right and wrong. So it's your choice now. God's holding out on you. Replace God's word with what you want to do. That is the doctrine of Satan right there. No one tells you what to do. You do what you decide to do. And that is what he's trying to get you to do when he wants you to give into temptation. You look past what he says. You look past what is right and wrong. You've blew right through all the red lights, and you're right up against sin, and now you're making a decision based on what you think is right or wrong. Let me say this and I'm done. What a horrible way to live. To live our life, now think about this, based only on our own senses. Now think about that. We're living our whole life based solely upon only what we can see, only what we can hear, and only what we can think and decide without any outside influence from God. That's a really bad place to be. And when we get to that place, we're given in to temptation. Now, what's the good part? We don't have to. We saw the power. We saw how Jesus overcame temptation. And we know what Satan's going to try to do, so we don't need to. But we need to be very careful. If we would just be the Christians we're supposed to be, temptation that comes our way, that we're not placing ourselves under, we can very easily brush away. We'll see it coming. That's prudence. We'll notice it right away. Here it comes. I know what that is. I've heard it in the scripture. I'm not going to be a part of it. Let's not give in and have to live the rest of our life making our own decisions and suffering the consequences of those decisions. Let's all stand together tonight.